Praise God. I'm so glad you're here. He is risen.
Amen.
That's the good news of the gospel of Christ, knowing that he's alive.
Yep.
And he's in us. And if you're not excited about that, man, someone needs to wake you up.
Amen.
Say, hey, Jesus is alive in you. Why don't we go ahead and let's start with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Lord God in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we come into your holy presence. We look to you now. And I pray, Lord, as our hearts are wide open, I pray your Holy Spirit will come and fill this entire place, Lord. Fill our hearts, our minds, our spirits with more of you. Because, Lord, we come with a heart totally surrendered to you. And we want to receive from you this morning, I pray, Lord, for a great abundance of your holy power and presence to flow right into us right now. Because we love you, Lord. We need you. And we come to give you glory. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, first of all, I want to tell you what the Easter message is all about. Then I'll get right into the word. But we know, right, with the Easter message, there are two verses that pretty much says it all. The first one is John 3:16. And we all know that verse, right? If you're a believer, this is one verse we are told to memorize from the very beginning. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. And he gave his Son. He was willing to sacrifice his Son because of his love for us. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And we know we all have done that. We declared with our mouth this, Jesus is our Lord and Master. But more than that, we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. That's why he is alive in us. That's why we know for certainty that we are saved. And you know, yesterday we did have baptism, and a lot of churches, they're having baptisms today because we know this represents the heart of what Easter is all about. The two verses I just gave you, we know that's what the heart of what this holiday is all about, because it tells us about the love of God. It tells us about the sacrifice he was willing to lay down. Then it also talks about death, the death of his Son Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. We know he is risen. Therefore, life has come. We know that the life that has come forth is in us, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. And we know he is alive. And we know as we live our life that is true to him, he will continue to show himself with greater miracles, greater blessings in our lives as we continue to believe and trust in him. Amen? Well, today the title of my sermon is The Worthless Ticket to Nowhere. The Worthless Ticket to Nowhere. You know, I remember when I was going to school in the mainland, I would frequently travel to and from Nebraska and Hawaii. And, you know, most cases I would not have any problems with the flights, but I remember there was this one time I was stranded in Utah in the airport for over 16 hours. I gotta tell you, it was pretty dreadful. And, you know, I was supposed to be coming home for Christmas. However, my airline was having major problems. I don't know what was going on, but I knew everyone was just miserable at the airport with this particular airline. And, you know, no matter what my ticket said, I felt like I just couldn't leave Utah. I wanted to go, but I was like, man, I'm stuck here. And over I heard, excuse me, I'm sorry to tell you, your flight has been canceled. Oh man, I don't want to hear that. And over I would hear that. And even though my parents purchased the ticket in good faith that I would be home that day, the airline could not back up their promise. And, you know, the ticket I trusted to get me back home was useless. It was worthless. And it got me where? Nowhere. I had to stay an extra day before they could get me a flight to get me home to my family. And I wanted to get back home so badly. But eventually they did get me a ticket to get back home. The ticket, the promise, I would be back home. But, you know, it was a brief inconvenience. Yeah, it wasn't that long, but it could have been much, much worse. But that experience just got me thinking. You know, I was thinking to myself about a much more important and final destination. Where is that? Our eternal home, heaven. Because it requires a ticket a ticket that is issued by who? Our Father God Himself. And we know how we attain this ticket, right? We have to make a decision for Him. But imagine thinking that your eternal destination was heaven, but discovering too late that your ticket couldn't get you there. And I have to tell you, we know it happens all the time. I want to tell you there are 14 popular beliefs about how to reach heaven. And it was done through a poll. I want you to take a look. It's on your notes. And if you don't have notes, by the way, you can raise your hand and someone can get you notes. All right. Let's wait for a few seconds here. Up here. Anyone else? Thank you, Mia. All right, it says here, check below what you feel is the best basis for reaching heaven. And then it's going to go through these, and if you think this is the way to heaven, put a check right there by that answer, okay? Number one here, it says, gifts, donations to charity. Number two, doing one's best in life. Three, leading a good life, being a good person. Number four, good works. Number five, keeping the Ten Commandments. Number six, trying to obey the golden rule. Number seven, tithing or giving to the church. Number eight, church membership. Nine, regular church attendance. Number 10, prayers. Number 11, fasting. Number 12, baptism. Number 13, Holy Communion. Number 14, born of Christian parents. And you know, these all sound good, right? But here's a question. Look at what it says there. What factors would deem your ticket worthless upon your arrival to the entrance gate? Well, look at number one here. It says when your ticket actually has all the wrong information for your final destination. And this relates to numbers 1 to 4. Okay? I gotta tell you something. You know, I remember a couple years ago, my family and I, we were rushing to the airport because we were running so late. And when we got to the airport, we went straight to the airline, went to the computer screen, and we punched in the ticket numbers, and we did it as quickly as we can because we didn't want to miss the flight. But we were getting denied. It kept on telling us, denied, denied. I'm thinking, why is it we're getting denied? And they said that our numbers were wrong. Finally, we asked for help. So we went to the airline clerk and we said, oh, we need help. And she herself was kind of confused and baffled why it wasn't going through. Then you know what she finally discovered? The reason why it wasn't going through because we were at the wrong airline. We're supposed to be at United, but we were at Delta. And so we're thinking, oh man. And you know, can you imagine how we felt? I'm not going to tell you who's responsible for all that. She's not here anyway. But anyway, I got to tell you. Here's the thing. Many religions and philosophies offer ways to go to heaven. And it may all seem right, but the ticket is worthless. I'm saying worthless for entrance into heaven. You know, I won't get into all the different religions, but we all know about the worldly philosophies. That we know. We grew up with these philosophies that believe these are sure ways to heaven. And you know, doing all these things are great, but by itself, I gotta tell you, it isn't enough. Well, look at number one here. It says about gifts and donations to charity. I gotta tell you, to be generous, it's good. God wants us to have a generous heart. But you know what the world says? Oh, you gotta give till it hurts. If it doesn't hurt, oh, you don't really know God. You don't deserve Jesus. That's what we hear. That's a world philosophy. And number two, the world may say, if you work hard and you are productive in society, that's how you get God's approval. And we know that's kind of like the Asian way of thinking, where, you know, the Asian parents tell the children, you want to bring honor to your family, you got to study hard, you got to work super hard, and you got to be some kind of professional. Then you bring honor to the family and to God. That's a world philosophy, isn't it? Or number three, it says, lead a good life. Be a good person. You get to heaven. It's all about being a good person. That's all it is. Be a good person. Be nice. You'll get to heaven. But we know what Romans 3:23 says. It's all have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter what you do. We all are sinners. We've fallen short of the glory of God. But we need a Savior, and we must turn to Him in order to be saved. And what number four here says, it says, doing good deeds. You know, I'm all about helping an elderly person cross the street. Sometimes, if I have the opportunity, I'll do that. Or if I'm in the bus, I'll give my seat to an elderly person. I mean, this is stuff we know that is good. But if you're just doing it so that other people can see your good deeds, just for that reason, that's not going to cut it. Is your reason because you know Jesus Christ is in your heart and He causes you to love others, that you want to help others? I mean, that's what it's all about. If your motivation is because Jesus Christ is alive in you, and you do what you do because His love is ever so present in your life, then that's all good. Because look what it says in Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to what? To death. The world can tell us all these things. Oh, this is the way to do it. This is how it's done. But you know what? It may seem right to man, but it only leads to death. We got to make sure we're doing it for the right reasons, according to what the Word of God tells us. Because only the Word of God can ensure us that we're going to stay on track. If you're constantly in the Word, you're reading the Word, you're getting excited about the Word, you turn to the Word when life's problems come, guess what? You're going to experience instructions from God. You're going to experience the power of God as you do it His way. Look what it says in Matthew 7:13. It says, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Many people want to be on that same path, that same road. It's just like a child saying to his parents, but everyone else is doing it. Right? And what does a parent say? Well, if they jump in the ocean, are you going to follow them? I think I said that before to my kids. Did I say that before, Benson? I'm sure I did. But that's the usual reply, right? But here's the thing. You know what a famous person once said? Nature is cruel. Therefore, we can be cruel too. You know who said that? Anyone knows? Adolf Hitler. Well, the world says, oh, that's a saying that you must follow. Really? A lot of times people don't know who said what. Do you really want to follow what Adolf Hitler said? Because he was famous for a reason. He was famous for all the evil things he had done. So we got to be careful. The world will say, oh, but the world says this, the world says that. But we don't go by what the world says. We go by what Jesus says. We go by what the Word of God says, because we know the Word of God brings forth life. So we must follow the Word of God, not what man says, not what the world says, because they'll tell you, oh, this is the way everyone else is doing. Well, you tell them, we're not like everyone. We're like Jesus Christ. Amen. Because if you trust in the wrong way, I tell you, it can be easy to get on that wrong path. You will get to the gate of eternity, but you will be denied entrance into heaven and live with God forever. It's that serious, gang. We got to make sure we're not following the world's philosophies. We're following the Word of God. Amen? Well, number two here, it says the ticket to heaven has nothing at all to do with something we have done or how religious we have been. I'll say it again. The ticket to heaven has nothing at all to do with something we have done or how religious we have been. And this relates to numbers 5 to 6 on the list, okay? And I'll go over those in just a minute here. But look what it says in Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, for by what? Grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. And we know what grace is defined as, right? It's defined as unmerited favor. No matter what you do, no matter how many times you mess up, God still loves you. And the fact that you know God loves you and favors you, regardless of what you do, we know God, He's always going to shower you with His presence, with His love. He's always going to tell you, come back to me. Get back on track. And you know, to get a better understanding of what this is all about, I'm going to let the skit guys show you in a skit what this is all about. Brother, can you go ahead and run that video?
Crazy man. And the truth is, many times we struggle understanding it. If you find yourself...
And that's what we understand, that no matter what we do, God says, I'm holding on to you. I love you. And you know, too often I hear people telling me, Pastor, you know, God could never love me or forgive me. You don't understand all the bad things I've done in my life. Remember what he says, grace is not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. It's always about Him. Regardless of what you do, God says, I've forgiven you. And because that's why Jesus died for us on the cross, so that the unforgivable can be forgiven. And that we can truly receive the life of God, the life of Christ in us, when we truly understand that's what grace is all about. It doesn't matter what we've done in life. Fact of the matter is, our Father God was willing to sacrifice His one and only Son for you and for me, so that we can truly live a life that is blessed, a life that we know we're free from the bondages of sin, that we are free in Christ. Amen? Well, you know, God's Word says that there is salvation in no one else but in Jesus Christ. You know, even the Ten Commandments, that's on the list, right? The Ten Commandments are God's absolute rules for living. But you know what? I got to tell you, no man has ever perfectly kept all of God's law except for who? God's only Son, Jesus. Do you know anyone who has kept all these laws perfectly? The Ten Commandments? You shall not steal, you shall not lie. All these things. Do you know anyone? No. It's only Jesus Christ that can do this. A person can never reach heaven through his or her own efforts. We need God to come in and empower us, to give us strength, to give us wisdom, to have that ability to live a life that is true to Him. A life that we know pleases God. Look what it says here in Romans 3:20. It says, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. Let me read that again. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Because some people think, oh, if I follow the laws of God, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it to heaven. I'm going to be right with God. No, it's more to it than that. Because when you follow God's law because you have to, that's what it is. Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that's what they did. Is that we have to follow the law. In other words, you're almost kind of forced to do what the law of God says. You know what? It really shows how much you really don't know God. Yeah, you heard me right. You don't know God as you should. If you're saying, oh, I gotta follow these rules. I gotta follow these laws. Oh, man. Because when you really know our Lord God, when you truly love Him with your whole heart, it doesn't become, I have to. It becomes, oh man, I want to follow Him. I love to follow what God tells me to do because this brings peace in my life. This brings victories in my life. This brings joy in my life. That's what it's all about. It's not about I have to. It's about, oh man, I love to. And you know, the same goes for the golden rule. You know what it is, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we heard that a lot in the schools. I remember growing up, I hear that a lot. But you know, Jesus was the one who taught this. It was in Matthew 7:12. But you know, just following this golden rule is not enough to get you into heaven. You must come to know Jesus Christ. Because when you come to know Him as your Lord and Savior, and you fall in love, I mean, fall in love with our Savior, even if others treat you badly, you're going to still want to love them. You see the difference? You got to know the Savior. It's not just about following the laws. Okay, I got to do it because it's there. It's written there. I got to do it. No, you got to fall in love with God first. fall in love with his son, Jesus. And then what you're going to do is, man, you're going to go above and beyond what Jesus taught us. Because he says, yeah, do unto others. But you know what? When you really know the Savior, you know what he says, to love your enemies. So when others treat you wrong, you're still going to love. You see what I'm saying here? You must know the Savior in a deep personal level. And then, you know what? All this will not become a hardship for you. You're not going to go, oh man, it's so hard for me to live a Christian life. No. Once you're in love with Jesus Christ, it's easy. It's easy. As you wake up in the morning, you go, Lord, what is your will for me this very day? Show me, Lord, because I live for you. It's not hard. When you love the Savior, amen?
Amen.
Love him deeply. Look what it says in Acts 4. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name. Not Buddha, not Allah, not Maharishi, not anything else. Only the name of Jesus Christ can get you that ticket into heaven. No one else. Only by the name of Jesus. Look what it says in John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you trust in any other ticket, whether it be doing good works, going to church, helping the poor, or other religious or spirituality, it will get you nowhere. Just by itself, I'm talking about, because these things are good, right? But by itself, it will get you nowhere. Remember, the ticket is that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you love him with your whole heart, because you'll get nowhere near heaven if you follow just these things alone, because it will get you a one-way ticket to eternal separation from God. You know, it's hard to hear these things, but it's the truth. It's what the Scripture tells us. You must know the Savior. There's no greater thing on this planet Earth than coming to know Jesus Christ as your friend, as your brother, as one who loves you beyond what you could ever imagine. And there's nothing greater than that. Amen? Well, look at number 3 here. It says, we could never do enough or be good enough to deserve God's forgiveness and eternal home in heaven. And it relates to numbers 8 to 14 here. You know, with church membership, giving to the church, regular church attendance, prayers, and fasting, and Holy Communion, all these things are good in themselves, but they can never justify sinners before a holy God. Just doing all these things. He said, oh, but I partook of Holy Communion. I did all these things. You know, I read my Bible. I did all these things. I fasted. I prayed. You know, these things aren't great. But you got to remember, you got to look to Jesus Christ as your Savior, as one you know you're living your life for him. Your life is totally dedicated to Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Isaiah 64:6. It says, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You know, think about this. If we use the same rag over and over and never wash it, guess what? The surfaces that we are cleaning are never really clean. Just imagine this. If I, you know, saw you eating at a table, and I noticed it was kind of dirty, so I got my rag and I wiped it. That was a good deed, right? I just wanted you to have a clean table. And then you asked me, oh, by the way, is your rag clean? I said, well, I just took it outside to wipe my car because there was some bird poop on it. And you might ask, did you wash it? No. How would you feel? Well, that's the thing, right? We think, oh, we're doing such a good deed. Aren't we supposed to be pleasing God? That's what I just did. I helped someone. We got to realize we need Jesus to cleanse us from the inside out. Catch what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? We may think we're doing a good thing, but we don't have the cleansing from the Holy Spirit. That's not good. We need to be cleansed in order to allow our good works to shine before men, because then they will praise our Father God for what we have done, because we did it for Jesus. We did it for God. This is what it's all about, realizing that's what Jesus does. He cleanses us. He cleanses our soul. He cleanses our spirit so that we stay clean, so that we can truly be reflective of our Lord God and King. Because without trusting in Jesus Christ, even baptism and communion, can I help? We did have baptism. It was glorious. It was awesome to see Nanai getting baptized. I was jumping up and down like a kid, you know, Nanai, when I saw you entering the water. I became a little kid. Yeah, Nanai! I tell you, I was overjoyed to see that. I became a little kid. Man, what joy to see people making a decision for Christ like that. But you know what? The Bible shows us clearly that these are only of great spiritual value when one truly believes in Jesus Christ. And I know, Nana, you did say praise the Lord. As soon as you came up from the water, as Freddie lifted you up, he kept you, I know, longer than you should have been down there. Because he loves you. But I saw you praising God. And that was glorious. I love that, Nanai. Thank you so much. Wow, that was awesome. But, you know, the whole thing about this is the person has to have faith in Christ. Because if you don't have faith in Christ, you could have done the baptism, but it's all just an act. It's meaningless. Look what it says here in Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Both men and women, they had to believe in Jesus Christ before they were baptized. They had to have a personal relationship with Christ. Because, you know, you could have done that, right? You could have just said, I want to be baptized, but you don't have a personal relationship. It really doesn't matter, because baptism will not get you saved. I want you to understand that. You know, it's a way of telling people, I made this decision for Christ. You're so excited, you want to tell the whole world about it. But baptism alone will not get you saved. It's because of you saying yes to Jesus, that you said, Lord, I make you my Lord and Savior, that Jesus entered into your heart. That's why we know you're alive in Christ. That's what it's all about. And look what it says in 1 Corinthians 11:27. It says there, so then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And you guys hear me say this every month as we do communion, and we know what that unworthy manner is, right? Not professing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Because some people say, oh, I just want to taste that bread. I want to see what it tastes like, or what that grape juice. I'm kind of thirsty, so I'm just going to drink it even though I haven't accepted Christ yet. This is an unworthy manner. And he says, you're guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Well, that's pretty serious. Really want to sin against the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? You got to make sure your heart is right before God when you partake of communion. And then, on the list, it talks about children born into Christian homes. And I got to tell you, they also need to be saved just like anyone else. Because I hear a lot of people tell me, you know, when I ask them, are you a Christian? I say, oh, yeah. I'm a Christian because I was born in a Christian home. And I said, did you make a personal decision for Christ? No need to. My parents were Christians, so I'm a Christian. You know, you got to make a decision for Christ too. Just because you were in a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian. You got to come to Jesus Christ on your knees too and say, Lord, I need you. That's what it's all about. Because look what it says in John 1, 12 to 13. It says here, as many as received him, Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, not of one's parentage, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And just because you were born in a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian. You still got to say, Lord, I want to make you master over my life. I want to surrender my life to you. That's what it takes. And here's the thing, though. Thankfully, we know Jesus Christ has already paid the price for our ticket. Guess what? If you really know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the ticket you have right now, Jesus has already stamped it. You know what it says on your ticket? Paid in full. Paid in full, because you know what? He died for us on the cross, and that was the very reason so that our ticket would have that stamp, paid in full. When we're going to be standing at the gates, we're going to have that ticket ready. And Jesus may ask you, why do you think you should be allowed into this eternal home, my Father's house? Well, he already knows, but we know the word, because you died for me, Lord. And I live my life for you. Wow. Enter in, my child. Come on in. There's a great party waiting for you. The ticket has been paid in full, because Jesus died for your sins. And the scripture tells us Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Look what it says here in 1 Peter 2:24. It says here, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Yes, we have been healed because of the suffering that he was willing to endure for us. Yes. By his wounds, we are healed. We are healed from eternal damnation. We are healed from all the ravages of the devil, all the things, all the hardships, all the harm, all the distress the devil wants to put on us. We're free, because we know we belong to Christ. Amen? And that's why he was willing to suffer and die for us. Look what it says in 1 Peter 3:18. It says, for Christ also suffered, what does it say there? Once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. You know, I gotta tell you, I remember reading this article one time, and did you know, there's some places in the Philippines, they recreate Jesus' crucifixion on the cross. I ain't kidding you, I actually saw pictures of this, where men and women, they're hanging on the cross, and their hands or feet are on the cross like this, their hands are stretched out, and they use carpenter nails, long skinny carpenter nails like this, and they nail it right through the hand, and through their feet, and they're in agony. You know, they're crying, but you know what? They don't die. After it's all been said and I don't know how many hours, they're left like this. They're screaming in pain and agony. And after it's all been done, okay, let's take out the nails. Okay, let's put some bandage. Okay, you're on your way. Is that what Jesus did? No, he died on the cross. And it says, Jesus did it for us. He suffered once. You don't have to suffer again like that. He never called you to do that. And that's why you kind of scratch your head. What are they doing? Why are they doing that? And they're thinking, because Jesus suffered us for us, we're going to suffer for him. Jesus doesn't call you to do that, brothers and sisters. He wants you to live an abundant life, a life filled with his blessings. He doesn't want you to suffer like that for him, because he did it for you already. He suffered how many times?
Once.
He suffered once for our sins. And you know, then Jesus, he often authenticated his mission by rising bodily from the grave. And you knew that what he said he would do, he would rise from the grave, he did it. And you should believe whatever he says, because of the very fact, yeah, what he said he would do, he did. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:3-6. It says here, for what I received, I passed on to you, this is Paul talking, passed on to you as first of importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And we know the only way to have a ticket to heaven is to place your faith in Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ alone. And you must believe that his death on the cross was as payment for your sins. He did it because he wanted you to be free. And we cannot save ourselves by good works, good character, personal effort, or any merit of any kind. because God sent His Son to die as a substitute for sinners like you and me. He sent Jesus as that substitute. I want you to understand that so that we don't have to be the one to suffer like that. No, He sent His Son Jesus to do that. So we don't have to say, okay, I got to do the same thing now. No, you don't. Because when the Lord Jesus died on the cross and He rose again on the third day, He finished the work that was necessary for salvation. He finished it. That's why He said, it is what? Finished. You don't have to do the same. He did it for you, and you just take it. Say, Lord, I thank You for that abundant life You've given me. I'm going to live fully according to Your word. That's what it's all about. And if you really catch that, oh man, you're going to have a life googling with blessings of heaven. Oh man, it'll be overflowing if you truly understand that's what Jesus Christ did for you. Now all God requires of you is to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done so, please. The Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. You make a decision for Him. Oh, you're going to be just basking in the presence of God. And He's going to be directing your life. Look what it says in Acts 16:31. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No other name but the name of Jesus. Acts 10:43 says, everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. The only way you can be forgiven of your sins is that you must go through Jesus Christ. Amen? You must believe in Jesus. And to make sure you're going to go to heaven, you must trust Jesus. Because for those who really trust Jesus and are living for Him, this is what it says in John 14:2. It says, I go to prepare a place for you. There are many rooms. It's all for us who believe. We are guaranteed eternity in heaven with our Lord God and King. He's the only, I'll say it again, He's the only way to heaven. So when you can trust Jesus, guess what, gang? You are saved. And you are destined to spend eternity in heaven with Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever with no end. Isn't that awesome news? That's the glorious news of the gospel of Christ. Because Jesus said in John 5:24, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged but has crossed over from death to life. You have crossed over from death to life. And that life is in Jesus Christ. Forever and ever, you will have the life of Jesus in you. The question here is, will you accept God's way of salvation? If you haven't done so yet, I gotta tell you, the choice is yours. God will not force you to do it. It must come from your heart. God will put it in your heart to turn to Him. But you gotta make the decision. Are you gonna say, Lord, I surrender. I wanna give my heart to You. Because you may continue to trust in all the things that I listed, that 14 things, because those are common beliefs that people say, oh, I'm going to get to heaven with these things, just these things alone. No, you must learn to trust in Christ, because that's the only way for eternity in heaven with our Lord God and King. Because if you truly trust in Him, you will experience the presence of God. If not, you will go to the grave without Christ. You're going to wake up facing God's judgment. Is that what you really want? No, we don't want that, do we? No, we don't want to face God's eternal punishment. Because that's what the Bible calls it. That's what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. But God doesn't want anyone to perish. The Bible tells us He wants everyone to come to know Him and have eternal life. Because you want that ticket to say, hey, paid in full by Jesus Christ. You are welcome into the presence of our Lord God and King. I want to show you this video. You probably heard of this song. It's called By His Wound. And we got to realize that, hey, you know, Jesus is willing to suffer and die for us. But, you know, we got to understand, without His death on the cross, there would be no resurrection. He had to die, right? because he had to prove to the world, what I said I'm going to do, it will be done. And he had to suffer and die for us. And by his wounds, we are what? Healed. We are healed, brothers and sisters, because we got joy like no other. Oh, we got peace like no other. We got the love of God that's reigning supreme in our life. I'm going to ask brother to go ahead and show you that video. You can sing along the song if you would like to. See that statement on the very bottom of your page? This is the one we should be checking. If you put a check on anything else on that list, it's okay, but this is the one, the only one that can really get you that ticket into heaven. It says, my only hope for heaven is based completely upon the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I now accept him as my personal Lord and Savior. And if you have already done that, brothers and sisters, we know we're all going to be in heaven one day. guaranteed. We're going to be glorifying God 24/7, nonstop, for eternity. We'll be rejoicing with his angels. Yeah, that's something we look forward to, isn't it?
Yep.
And we know that ticket is already paid in full. You're guaranteed. There's no doubt. You don't have to doubt that. We know we have that hope in God. We have that hope in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. And Father God, I just pray, Lord, for all of us here, Lord, who believe in you. I just pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will just come and touch our hearts right now. And if any of us believe, Lord, that we already have that ticket, we know that we're going to spend eternity with you. But with today's message, you realize, wow, wait a minute. There's more to it than just doing things. You know, you can say, yeah, I pray, I fast, I read the Bible, but if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean anything. You must come to know our Savior. You must come to know and love him deeply, because he loves you that much. He tells us in Scripture, by his wounds, we are healed. And if you're saying, Pastor Brent, you know what? I kind of realize now that I thought I really had a ticket that would guarantee me entrance into the kingdom of God. But now I realize, man, I haven't truly come to know my Savior. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about today, you know you can just turn it all around. You got to come to grow in such a deep, loving relationship with him. And with God's help, you can. With all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, and you're saying, Pastor Ben, that's me. I'm going to learn to love my Jesus first above anything. That's what God requires of me, to love his son, because that was his sacrifice for us. And if that's you, can you simply raise your hand and say, that's me? Praise God. Anyone else? Say, that's me. I want to learn to love Jesus more. Help me, Father God, to love your son even more. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Jesus, praise you. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Keep your hand up, raised up. Say, that's me, Lord. Hear the cry of my heart. That's me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you just to keep your hands up. Raise it up towards the heavens. Say, that's me, Lord. I want to pray for you. Father God, you've seen all the hands were raised. And I know, Lord, you truly know, Lord, what's in our heart. And I just pray, Lord, will you just intensify your love for us, Lord? All my brothers and sisters that already know you, I just pray, Lord, you will just let that love grow even stronger, even deeper, Lord. I pray that the joy of the Lord will come forth and we know you will be our strength. I just pray, Lord, if we haven't been living a life that has been true to you, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will counsel us right now. And we're going to say, Lord, I'm going to turn things all around. I'm going to live a life that is truly reflective of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will just come forth and fall afresh upon your children right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your presence fall. Let your presence fall upon your children in Jesus' name. Oh, empower them, Father God. Let there be an anointing of the Holy Spirit be upon their lives as they continue to serve you, Lord, with their whole hearts. Praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. You can put your hands down. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor, I heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, the first thing you can do is you can pray a simple prayer. But it must come from deep within your heart. You must say, Lord, I really need this. I want you and I need you. And if this is the cry of your heart, I'm going to be praying a prayer in just a few seconds here. But if this is you, you're saying, Lord, I'm accepting you as my Lord and Savior. Because I want that ticket to say, paid in full, that I will not be denied entrance into the kingdom of heaven when I get there. Oh, Father God, I just pray right now that your Holy Spirit will just show your holy presence to those who is going to make a decision for you. If you're ready and you're willing to say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ with my whole heart, can you raise your hand and say, that's me? I give my life to Jesus. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me? Praise God. Praise God. I see your hand. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I need Jesus more than anything. Come into my life, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Hallelujah. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray together. Let's give it to our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that He hears us right now. Why don't you pray out this prayer out loud together as a family? Say, Father God,
I need you.
I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. And make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God. And so that everyone can hear me. And so that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for Him.
And I live for Him only.
Father God,
write my name
in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Let's all stand. Let's give Him glory.